Praise the Lord. Thank you, Logan. Thank you, Robert, for lifting our hearts in worship to God. What a blessing. What a treasure. And I just want to reiterate our gratitude to the veterans that were honored here today. And thank you, Audie and Dottie, for leading your students to help us to do that. We really appreciate that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you for all the people in our lives presently and before us who have given so much so that we can have the lives that we have here and now today. And especially we thank you for Jesus, who gave it all for us so that we can enjoy the peace, the security, the forgiveness, our belonging as your children that we have through him. And now we ask that you would bless us by your Spirit. Please speak to us through your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A good soldier. You know, soldiers aren't always praised. Soldiers aren't always looked with favor. I know people who right now, to my face, if I presented this slide to them, would say, "A good soldier? Is there really such a thing?" And I want to tell you that this phrase is actually pulled straight out of the Bible. You can find it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 and verse 3, where Paul is talking to his protege, Timothy, as a leader in the church, as a teacher of people, a teacher of the gospel, and says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a what? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, a good soldier." You know, we've talked about what the gospel is here before, and the gospel is the story of Jesus and how he saves us. You know, if you read the gospel story in the scriptures, good soldiers turn up every once in a while. Did you know that? Even at the beginning, before Jesus' official ministry, you can see soldiers touched by the ministry of John the Baptist going out in the wilderness to where he was. I don't know if they sent themselves or if they were sent by the authorities to see what was going on there by the Jordan River, but they came, and as they listened to John preach, as they listened to him talk about the one who was to come, as they listened to him talk about righteousness and about being right with God and following God and living the life that God called them to live, the soldiers were touched. And they said, what should we do? And John gave them counsel immediately right back. He said, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." In other words, what did John tell them? He told them the message that actually comes to all of us in whatever position we find in life. But he said to these soldiers who were searching for how they could be pleasing to God, how they could be right with God, he said, "Don't use your position to bully people and get what you want, but rather serve and be content and happy to serve as you have been called to serve." And so these soldiers figure in the gospel story before Jesus came to be baptized. A couple of other places, you might remember the story from Matthew chapter 8, and you can go look that up, verses 5 through 13, where a centurion came to Jesus, and his servant was sick unto death. And that centurion is presented to us from beginning to end of the story as a good person who wanted good things. He comes to Jesus and he asks, "Could you please heal my servant?" You remember what Jesus said? He said, "Let me come and see your servant, and I'll be happy to heal him," was what he wanted to communicate to this man. But what did the man say? He said to Jesus, "No, I'm not worthy for you to come to my home." He said, "I am a commander. I have soldiers under me. I say to one, do this, and they do it." What's he talking about? Any of you that ever been soldiers know what he's talking about, because that's what you're supposed to do, right? When the commander says do this, you do it. When he says don't do this, you don't do it. If he says go over there, you go there. And the centurion said, "That's what my men do for me." And he then If he was doing it literally, physically already, this just piled on top of it, because essentially he was saying, but you are the King of Kings. You are in charge of things that I could never be in charge of. And he said, only speak a word and my servant will be healed. What did Jesus say to this centurion who was serving the imperial Roman army, oppressing the people of Israel? What did he say to him? Who do you think you are? You people come over here and you put my people in subjection. Your soldiers misbehave and do all kinds of things to oppress my people. You know, the reason John said, don't extort, don't make people pay you money, don't pressure people for extra money and bribes, is because that was actually happening. Who are you to say that I should heal your servant? Jesus didn't say a thing about that. He didn't tell the man to resign his commission. He didn't tell the man to withdraw from the Roman army. He spoke the word, and he said, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. To the soldier, he said this, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. We can point out other situations and other circumstances, but I'm drawn to the cross. I'm drawn to that scene where Jesus was herded by soldiers to the cross, where Jesus in his condition was falling down, and the soldier saw that he needed help and got someone else, maybe not nicely, but in a soldierly manner, got someone else to carry the cross for Jesus. The soldiers heard Jesus right there with them saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But the truly magnificent moment, the truly amazing testimony came right after the Pharisees and the priests had been saying, he saved others, how come he can't save himself? If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. You don't hear that from the soldiers. And finally, when Jesus said it is finished and he gave up his breath, the earth shook. The sky grew dark, and it was a Roman soldier, a centurion, who was struck to his heart, having supervised this horrible execution. He said, truly, this was the Son of God. I can think of only two others up to this point who had said this of Jesus. Peter, and maybe a demon or two when Jesus cast them out and he told them to be quiet. This man was the first Gentile, the first of all of the rest of humanity who were not considered to be the chosen people of God. This man was the first Gentile recorded to say who Jesus is. It was a soldier. It was a centurion. And then as you look on the unfolding of the life of the church, who was the first Gentile to whom God sent a messenger to specifically bring the gospel? It was Cornelius, a Roman soldier, remember? And again, Peter didn't tell him, you've got to stop being a soldier. He only showed him the light of God in Jesus Christ, in the gospel, in the good news, that there was a way of salvation for him and his family, and for everyone else, as Paul says, Jew or Gentile, for everyone, the way through Jesus. And Cornelius, the Roman centurion, believed. A lot of history, a lot of experiences of people, soldiers, serving, believing, trusting, playing their part in the life of Jesus, being examples of faith that he found extraordinary. And culminating with this testimony, truly this was the Son of God. What is it about soldiers? Going back to this quote from Paul, you can look it up in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. You might say, as Paul points to the example of a soldier, very much like the centurion pointed to an example of a soldier. Yeah, he's talking about preachers, he's talking about evangelists, he's talking about missionaries. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Open your Bible. Look at it. Look at the context. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The chapter starts with Paul saying to Timothy, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong. That sounds soldierly, doesn't it? That sounds like one of the things that we expect from soldiers. Be strong in the grace that is in you in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Chain of command. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And boy, those of you who are soldiers, I've never been a soldier, not a literal one. I've never been in the military, never been in a battlefield. But some of you here can help fill out that meaning. And many of you have read stories and watched movies to see the life of a soldier and the things that they go through. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are we talking about not being able to find your keys, that level of hardship? Are we talking about just not being able to get your part straight in the right place on your head, that kind of hardship? Are we talking about the kids making you late to work or themselves late to school kind of hardship? No, we are talking about soul-wrenching, body-busting hardship, aren't we? We're talking about things that tear you apart inside and out. It's really an echo of what Jesus said. What did he say? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He was talking about any of us and all of us, my brothers and sisters, my friends and my family. Take up your cross and follow him. If you're looking for an easy life, the life of faith in Jesus is not the life for you. If you're looking for an easy life, no. But if you're looking for a fulfilled and purposeful life that despite the hardship is a life of peace that surpasses all understanding, the life of following Jesus is the life for you. If you're looking for the life that goes beyond the limits of this life from birth to death into eternity with him, then the life of faith in Jesus is the life for you. You remember what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Did he say that in me you might have no trouble? That in me you might have it easy? He did not say that. He said that in me you might have peace. He says, in the world you have trouble. But be of good cheer. And this is from the soldier of all soldiers, the greatest, best, goodest, if that's okay to say, teachers, soldier in all of history who said, "For I have overcome the world." He said, you will have trouble. It won't be easy. Paul said, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He says, but be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. Paul is the one also. He reported to the Corinthians how he had been beaten, how he had been stoned to death, rocks heaped and thrown at him until they thought he was dead. All the adrift at sea, all for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one who said, to those who are called to endure hardship as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to those who would be persecuted by those who don't understand what they're doing and don't believe, to all of those who would be followers of Jesus Christ, he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, present your requests to God with thanksgiving. And what did he say? Despite all the trouble, despite the hardship, despite persecution, despite your heart breaking as you long for people to know Jesus too, and as people reject you because you love and follow Jesus, He says, the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the call of God, to embrace the whole thing, to take up our crosses, to endure hardship, whatever it takes, like a soldier on a mission, like has been done in your name and on your behalf by men and women, people who stood up here today and so many, many others who have put their lives on the line so that you and I can enjoy the lives that we have today, and including those that we remember on Memorial Day who gave the last full measure of devotion that we can enjoy the freedoms and experience the peace that we have in our country. He says to us, in our lives, whether on the literal battlefield or simply on the battlefields of life, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are you alone in this? Is this something that you have to grit your teeth and do, generate within yourself everything that you need? Not on your life. What would it be? And some of you report that in our human system, I'm sure you can report that to some extent this has happened. What would it be if Uncle Sam had sent you out into the battlefield without any equipment? How would you feel about that? Would you be okay with that? Would you say to yourself, that's all right. I don't have any supplies. I don't have any weapons. I don't have anything I need. If you're a medic, I don't have a first aid kit with me. I can do this somehow. Would you feel good about Uncle Sam if Uncle Sam sent you out there without anything that you needed to do what you needed to do? I know when our older boy was in Iraq, I was surprised, actually, to some extent, some of the things that they had to buy for themselves to do what they needed to do. Some of the body armor and things that wasn't automatically issued to them. I think they've kind of fixed some of those things now because it raised quite a hue and cry. But by and large, they had the equipment that they needed. I want to tell you, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, He has provided all the equipment that you need. You are not on your own. I'd like you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul tells us again, using the illustration of a good soldier equipped for the battle, that he tells us what God has equipped us with so that we have not only Him, but everything that we need that ultimately connects us with Him. Ephesians chapter 6, and starting in verse 10, he says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And notice this, "For we do not wrestle against what? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Well, now that's different, isn't it? Any of you veterans here who've gone into battle, you wrestled with, you fought with flesh and blood. You worked to take care of soldiers who bore the brunt of the attacks of flesh and blood enemies. But he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." I want you to notice something here. Because there are a lot of people in the Christian faith community that want to call you and I to do precisely that, to wrestle with flesh and blood. They want you to vote, to use the power of government to help make people behave like Christians, you know? To use the endorsement of government to advance the cause of Christ. Well, that's not what God is calling us to. He says, "You do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the heavenly places. He says our enemy is the devil. Our enemy in this spiritual warfare is not people. Don't look for somebody to attack. No matter whether you approve or disapprove of their lifestyle, no matter whether you believe what they believe, no matter if you if you find their beliefs and the things that they advance to be disgusting to you, they are not your enemy. And even if they are, what does Jesus say? He says, love your enemies. But they are not your enemy. They are not the real enemy. I went to a marriage seminar, and it was an amazing testimony. Renee and Alvy Kispy, some of you might know them. But what a breakthrough it was in their marriage struggles that they themselves had when they realized that each other was not the enemy. That they were wrestling not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. And that if the person that you think is your enemy, if you're under the delusion that they are your real enemy, stop fighting them. Instead, find a way to join them in fighting the one who has led them astray, in calling them over to engage in the same spiritual warfare. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. What kind of weapons would you use anyway? Huh? What kind of armor would you use anyway for this kind of battle? We don't have a clue. Sometimes the battlefield here on earth takes on those colors, doesn't it? World War I, mustard gas, had to figure out new weapons, new defenses, new ways of approaching. How do you defend against radiation? All of these things. Well, this is even beyond that. How do you deal with spiritual powers? How do you deal with the devil and his host attacking you? Here it is. Stand, therefore. Wow, that's quite a command right there. Stand, therefore. Don't flail. Don't run. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Does that echo in your mind? Stand, therefore. And here's the equipment. Having girded your waist with truth. Do you love the truth of God? Do you want to know the truth of God? Do you want to seek him in his word? He has given a book to show us the truth. He has given us Jesus to show us the demonstration of the truth. If you read, actually, in his letter to the Thessalonians, what does he say the reason that people will perish? Someone knows it. Because they didn't receive the love of the truth. Long for truth. Desire the truth of God. Seek the truth of God in his word and in experimenting with his promises and finding the truth of them in your life. Having girded your waist with truth. What do you use around your waist anyway? You use a belt. I think these pants fit me all right. So it wouldn't be a disaster if I took my belt off. But I don't know in Jesus' time if they had all the custom sizes that we have now. But some of you have worn pants that if you took off your belt, you'd fall apart, wouldn't you? It would be embarrassing. The truth of God keeps you together. Do you understand that? The truth of God, the truth as it is in Jesus, keeps you together. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Oh. Breastplate covers what main thing that needs to be guarded? Your heart. That's right. If one of those fiery darts penetrates past your sternum and into your heart, you're dead. You're a goner. But the breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness might that be? When the devil comes at you or someone else comes at you attacking you, motivated by him, do you stand there and say, but I'm a good person? Is that what you say? No, that won't protect you. If it's a devil, he knows way better. And you might remember those, it's recorded in the book of Acts, those boys who tried to cast out demons in the name of Jesus that Paul talks about. Devil knew that they weren't trusting in Jesus. They didn't have his righteousness covering them. And that demon-possessed man yanked off their clothes and sent them running off naked. I don't think they ever tried that again. No, you can't stand there in front of him and say, "But I'm a good person." No, it's the righteousness of Jesus. It's acknowledging there is nothing good in me, just like Paul said. There is nothing good in me. It's only Jesus, and I trust in him. The breastplate of righteousness, trusting in Jesus' righteousness, will protect your heart. No matter what the devil, if he reminds you, you know, that there's that old cliche, if the devil tries to remind you of your past, what do you remind him of? His future. But even beyond that, if he tries to remind you of your past, you can tell him, "I am safe in Jesus. You're exactly right." Oh, that takes the steam out of people when they tell you stuff that they think is going to cut you down about yourself, and you just say, "Yeah, I know. So, I'm trusting in Jesus. I'm not here to tell you how good I am. It's how good he is." The breastplate of righteousness. "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Your shoes that protect your feet from the rocks in the road. Your shoes that make it so that you can go places and go long distances. Go as far as it takes. The gospel of peace. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news. The good news of Jesus not only helps you stand and protects your feet upon which basically your whole rest of your body depends on to get around, but it also gives you a reason to go, doesn't it? To let people know of the good news of Jesus. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Faith in who? Faith in what? Anybody know? Not self-reliance. That's what we're about in America, isn't it? Self-reliance. I got this. I can do it. No. The shield of faith that protects you from the fiery darts of the evil one is your faith in Jesus Christ. You're recognizing that he is your victory. That he is the one. You hear about the little girl who tells somebody, you know, when Satan comes knocking at your door, don't you go to the door, send Jesus, right? You send Jesus because you don't have what it takes. You can't meet him on your own, but he has overcome because greater is he that is in the world than he, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The shield of faith which you will be able to quench, by the way, how many of the fiery darts of the wicked one? Every last one of them. Every last one of them. Are you starting to feel powerful in Jesus today? Amen. Is there anything that Satan can bring against you that you and Jesus can't handle? No. Nothing. How much of everything that comes at you can you handle with Jesus? Everything. Everything. This is true of others, but not of Jesus. I remember in academy, I saw a poster. It showed the cutest little white dog. Maybe two of them together. And it said, "You and me against the world. If you ask me, I think we're going to get creamed." But not so with Jesus. You and me against the world, Jesus. Victory in Jesus, like the song says. Victory in Jesus. Going on, and take the helmet of salvation. Is your head important? How do you keep your head straight? By knowing who you are as a child of God, taken care of in Jesus Christ. That's how you keep your head straight. That's how you do it. The helmet of salvation. Now I want you to know, notice, what do all of the weapons and equipment so far, What are they all basically for? Protection. Did anybody? Protection. Defense, right? These are all defensive weapons. Every last one of them. They aren't for you to go around attacking people, are they? They are not for you to go around attacking people. They are for you to be protected from the evil one in this battle. They are to help you stand for Jesus. Stand with Jesus. Confident in your salvation with him. Confident in your acceptance with him. Confident that you are his child in his family, destined to live with him forever because you trust him and you are his. There is one offensive and defensive weapon that is talked about here. And the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Whose sword is it, by the way? It's the Spirit's sword, isn't it? So I want you to get this straight. As we're talking about being a good soldier, enduring hardship for Jesus Christ. Whose sword is it? I want to make sure you know this. Whose sword is it? Is it your sword? It is not your sword. Are you to take your agenda and go attack people with the Word of God? Are you? I wasn't enthusiastic enough. Are you to go attacking people with the Word of God? No. No, it's the sword of the Spirit. If you read in Hebrews 4 where it talks about that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, he doesn't go say in there so that you can use it to go pick people apart. He said, it picks you apart. It picks you apart. It shows you your real motivations. It shows you what's really going on in you. Why? So that it can bring you down? No, so that it can bring you to Jesus. So that it can keep you in continual knowledge of your need of Jesus and how he wants to grow you to be like him and to serve him and advance his kingdom in this world. It is not for you to attack others. Are there occasions when the sword of the Spirit might be used by the Spirit through you to help someone see something that they need to see that's hurting them in their walk with Jesus? Yeah, that could happen. But don't you direct that process. Don't you direct that process. Don't you take cover under that process when something about somebody just bothers you and you find a scripture that you can use on them to help them stop bugging you the way they do. Don't you do that. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's not yours, it's his. It's the word of God, it's not the word of you, it's the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And in all of this, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're equipped. You're ready. It all comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And before I close, I just want my heart goes to veterans here who are with us. One of the things that I want to thank you for is that what we have asked you to do, the places that we have asked you to go on our behalf for the protection and advancement of our country, many of you in that process have experienced things that we were not created for. You've experienced situations that do soul damage, that hurt you, that take your heart places that it was not meant to go. And I want to just deepen our sense of gratitude to you for what you have gone through. Some of you might suffer with PTSD because of the things that you have seen and experienced. Some of you might still be struggling with things that you were asked to do. The centurion said, do, and you did it. And you didn't feel good about it. You felt bad about it the rest of your life up until today. I want you to see this experience that the soldiers who nailed Jesus to the cross experienced. Right there, I don't know how loud he said it. It was loud enough, evidently, that the gospel writers could hear it. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Whether spiritually or literally in your life, as a soldier, if you felt the sting of failure or if you felt the sting of guilt for things that you have done or things that you have not done, I want you to see the heart of Jesus right here and right now. Because every place is the place of the fresh start in him. Every place. And so right now, as we are gathered here, this is the place of the fresh start. Veteran or not, anything that's been dragging on your soul to make you feel like somehow you're spotted and not good enough to truly be a follower of Jesus Christ, that you could never be a good soldier in hardship or not, in Jesus, it's taken care of. He, on that cross, took everything that was ever wrong with us. And the Bible even seems to say in Isaiah, physically, not just spiritually, took everything that was ever wrong with us on himself. It's paid for. You don't have to carry it anymore. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. In the name of Jesus, today, I offer you forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of Jesus, today, I offer you peace that passes understanding. And you might argue with it and say, "Oh, Pastor, I don't deserve to have peace because of things I've done, experiences I've had." That's why it says peace that passes understanding. Something that passes understanding doesn't make sense to you. Don't worry if it makes sense to you or not, because you are promised in Jesus peace that passes understanding. Because you know, you can go up through the ranks of people that you think are above you, people in your family, people that you served under in the military, people in government levels, on up and up and up and up, but you can't get higher than Jesus. And Jesus says, "I forgive you." Jesus says, "You are in my family. I accept you as you trust in me, coming to me just as you are." That's what Jesus says. And no one outranks Jesus. So any voice that you have, whether it's from inside of you or from people around you and maybe thinking they're above you, you listen to the voice of Jesus. Because he is the commander of all commanders in chief. And he says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He says that by faith, you are accepted as God's child, no matter what you have done. And you can go from this place, the place of healing, the place of forgiveness, the place of the fresh start, forward with him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here with us. And Father, you alone know what's happening in each one of our hearts. Oh Father, I pray that for every person in this room together, that what is happening in our hearts is a new healing in Jesus, a new experience of peace, forgiveness, of cleansing from all unrighteousness. Father, I want to thank you for those who have allowed themselves in the name of love, in the name of loyalty, in the name of faithfulness, to be put in circumstances that the rest of us can't even imagine. And Father, for whatever stain they might feel, for whatever stain any of us might feel, may we right now, trusting in Jesus and what he did in that ultimate battle on the cross, accept that we are clean, that we are yours, and that you have a place in heaven for us one day when Jesus comes, and that you will be with us all the way there, the rest of our lives. empowering us, leading us, that the battle is yours and not ours. If you haven't been sure of where you stand with Jesus, or whether he could really accept you, I invite you after the service, I ask an elder to be in each one of these front corners of the room here, and they will be able to share with you how you can have peace with Jesus, peace with God through Jesus. Know that your sins are forgiven, that you have eternal life, and show you the way into the family of God where we help each other until Jesus comes. Father, I thank you for doing it all for us in Jesus. Thank you for the armor. Thank you for everything that you've given us so that we can go from here on out until Jesus comes, safe in him, advancing your kingdom. I pray these things in his name. Amen.